Yeah. Proceed.
Okay, very good. At 5:07, I will call the meeting to order.
5:02.
I don't know how to tell time here.
Okay, and
roll call.
Director Shore.
Present.
Director Zindel.
Here.
Director Perezgil.
Here.
Director Rogers.
Here.
Director Matthews. Vice President Borja.
Here.
And President DeLara.
Here. We will move on to the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, if we could recite our pledge on three. 1, 2, 3.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. We'll get together one of these days and it'll all be so much more collaborated. Okay, so the next is we have the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I so move. This is Carol.
Okay, Director Rogers, motions to approve. Is there a second?
I second.
Director Perez Gill seconds. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We'll move on to the next item of public comment. At this time, is there any member of the audience that would like to speak on an item that is not listed on the agenda, but is of public interest? You have 3 minutes and I will pause to see if there's anybody there.
We have no members of the public.
Very good. We'll move on to the next item. I can't see the agenda, so I'm gonna.
Here we go.
Okay, so the next item on the agenda is number E, CEO report. I'll turn it over to our CEO.
Thank you, Madam President. We have an agreement before you that we suggest we get approval from our board of directors. Over the last few days, we were contacted by the Department of Public Health. They have been discussing with us the work that is needed for the recovery, and actually we are in the middle of a response to the COVID-19 pandemic, but it's important that as we are working on this response, that we look into mitigation efforts and get prepared for the recovery of our region after this pandemic is overcome. One of the lenses that the State Department of Public Health is applying to this work is the equity lens. That's why when we look at the contract that we have before you, there is so much emphasis on Eastern Coachella Valley. We were approached by the Department of Public Health and asked if we could serve as an intermediary, a fiscal intermediary, that is, for a number of community-based organizations that they see and we see are critical to increasing awareness among community members about the importance of getting tested for COVID-19, and also coordinating that response so that our community members that are facing so many challenges in getting tested and accepting the test and getting the information, correct information, that is, about COVID-19, can have access to public health resources, primarily the tests, but also a number of social services and healthcare services that they also need in order to move our region forward and address the community conditions that are making the impact of COVID-19 worse in our community. One of the things that I highlighted in the CEO report for this item is that we in Coachella Valley have a population that represents less than 19% of the County of Riverside population. However, we have 27% of all the cases of COVID-19, or at least 27% of all the tests that have come back positive are in Coachella Valley. We believe that the reason, or one of the reasons why this percentage is so high, is because we have a segment of our population that are what we now call essential workers. These are farm workers, service workers that are traditionally more vulnerable to any disease. And in this case, the fragmentation of our healthcare system, the inability to have a robust public health response in our region have made this case even worse. So we have had conversations with the Department of Public Health. We have had joint meetings with some of these organizations that they had already been selected by the Department of Public Health. And we are working to have a collaborative effort. And I think this will be joined by other efforts that we had initiated at the district, supporting the federally qualified health centers and many other organizations that are benefiting from the financial support that we at the district and the foundations have been providing to the community. So initially we were talking about a 1 million contract. We ended up with 1.2 million contract over the next 8 months. And we at the foundation would receive 20% of that 1.2 million to offset some of the costs that we will incur as part of the staff time and other resources that we will be utilizing to implement this work. So the recommendation before you is to authorize the CEO to sign this contract, and we can move forward with the implementation of this project. Questions?
This is Carol.
Letty, you're muted.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm going to call on the board members for questions or comments, starting with Director Shore.
I have a couple of questions, Conrado. Actually, I have two questions. Were these agencies selected by us, agreed to by us, or recommended to us in specificity by the county or some other agency? Just curious to know how these agencies became to be the focus of the process. You're muted, Conrado.
Sorry, they were selected by the Department of Public Health. They had already started this conversation with them, and they realized probably that they were missing a connection or an organization that would or could coordinate these efforts, because there were many other resources that we had already allocated into this work. And then they called us and they said, we're talking on with all these organizations, we're planning on giving them the funding, but we believe that it will be wise to work with the district and foundation and allocate these resources through you.
Okay, I have a question for one other question, if you don't mind, Madam President, for Chris. Of course. Can I assume, Chris, that we can absorb most of this work effort without spending an additional $240,000? So how much marginal extra cost do you anticipate? A. B, if there is anything left over from your answer, shouldn't we just assume that it's extra to our budget and that we can turn around and redistribute additional monies in this program or any other program as we see fit?
And to your first point, Arthur, we came up with a budget that was in the low 200s. So
at the margin of our activities?
Yes. So essentially what it is it's allocating our current resources. So we have staff that mostly consists of, and Conrado, if you want to step in, but Javier on... Actually, Conrado, if you want, why don't you
I guess my question wasn't precise enough. We're not going out and generating new expense. I understand that allocated it to generate the justification for the overhead. But if the budget ended the day after we got the grant, we would end up with some excess as approaching as much as $240,000, theoretically. So my question is, given that we're going to have an excess over our budget in our overall budget, can we then assume that we can reallocate that and distribute it in either to amplify the distribution to the agencies involved here, or as we, the foundation, see fit? That's all. It's almost like surplus money in a manner of
speaking. Well, in a sense, but also we have to consider if we were to look at our budget that we adopted, we do have overhead of about $300,000+ that's being allocated from the district to the foundation for foundation activities like this. However, there was anticipation because we're showing a net loss on the foundation. Kind of resources coming in to supplement or to cover those overhead costs, helping to cover those. So it's not all, in essence, free money.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for the clarification. It's very important. Thank you.
Okay, Director Zendel.
I have a question and a comment. My question has to do not with do we have the money to do what they want us to do, but do we have the staff bandwidth to do it? I presume we do, or you wouldn't have accepted this, but can I get an affirmation from you, Conrado?
Yes, absolutely. And actually, we have had conversations internally with the staff. Alejandro will be doing much of the coordination with the community-based organizations. I will provide oversight, and we will have another member of our staff, Vanessa, who at this point doesn't have much because one of the projects that she was working on ended. And so we have some staff resources that we can allocate to this.
And my second question has to do with how will we monitor what these agencies are doing? We're really a fiduciary pass-through in many ways, and I presume we'll be monitoring what they're doing so that we can not only assure ourselves that we've done a good job, but assure the county that the money was well spent. Do you have any plan on how we're going to do that?
Yes, we will have, first of all, we're going to have weekly meetings with these organizations. They will have to provide the foundation with a monthly report, and we will have a finger on the pulse on what's happening, so we will know exactly whether the work is being done. And we will be providing that report every month to the Department of Public Health. So yes, we will be monitoring these activities very closely.
Great. And my comment is, I totally support this project. I think it's great that we've been called upon. I think it speaks for how we're thought of by the county and by other people. The need for this is so apparent. I don't know if people realize it, but the county gets penalized now because of the medically underserved areas that are having poor case rates and higher positivity rates actually prevents the county from improving the tier level. I can't remember what that program is called, but the state is taking that into consideration. And one of the things I've been kind of doing is tracking the case rate by cities. And, you know, Coachella and Mecca both have 550 to 650 cases per 10,000, whereas on the West Valley, our cities have, you know, around 250 cases per 1,000. So the prevalence is much higher over in the east side. Now, the death rate is higher on our side, but that has to do on our side, on the west side, because of the older population and things like that. But there's no question that the impact is higher for the reasons that Conrado stated at the beginning. So I'm very supportive of this and congratulate the staff for being able to achieve this.
Okay, next I'll go to Vice President Borja, who has her hand up.
You will not be hiring staff to help this or to move this along. I know both United Way and Lift to Rise doing obviously not similar COVID work, but they just had to hire staff at the end of it. Is that something we're just not considering at the moment?
We are not considering hiring additional staff because the work that we will be doing is work that we do anyway, in terms of re-granting these dollars. And also because I believe we have the availability of some of our time to do coordination. We will not be deploying the resources on the ground. And I think that's the work that organizations will be doing. We're actually having weekly meetings with the three federally qualified health centers talking about the same topic. So we will expand on that type of work and adding new organizations into those calls to have a better coordination, better communication between the different agencies that are addressing COVID-19 in Coachella Valley.
Thank you.
Excuse me, President DeLara. Yeah. Director Perez-Gil has her hand raised, but her camera's not on. She's on via phone.
Okay, I'll call on the next.
Thank you.
Proceed, Vice President Borja.
Thank you. My second concern is about tipping. 501c3s can only receive, I believe it's 30% of their annual budget from a particular funder. Are we having conversations like that with some of these nonprofits? I know some of them are smaller. Some of them don't have like multi-million dollar budgets where they could take on hundreds of thousands of dollars. Is that something that we're keeping in mind?
Yes, we are considering all those aspects. And if we distribute the funding that we will have available equally among the different organizations, the maximum they will get is about $95,000.
Okay. Now, the next couple of concerns, I shared page number 3, which had like your breakdown of what's kind of going to happen with some Indio residents. One of them is one of our local council members. Their concern is that they don't see Martha's Village or Kitchen, and mine is I don't see Galilee, as part of this particular grant. We have granted them to do some COVID-related work. Is it possible to bring them into the fold? Because they are already doing some of this work.
So we will have to discuss with the Department of Public Health. They were the ones who selected these organizations. And actually, the Galilee Center was one suggestion that came from those meetings, because they do serve farm workers in Eastern Coachella Valley and refugees in that area. And those are the areas that are more impacted. If you look at the maps that are on page 48, so it starts on page 47, but the maps on page 48, those highlight the areas where this work will be concentrated. And you will see that it's in full blue all the areas of North Shore and Mecca Oasis Thermal. Those are the areas of major emphasis here.
And then there's also that little area of Indio.
Yes, we saw that.
DHS.
Yes.
So that's the only concern, right? We also have farm workers in the city of Indio. We have given money to Martha's. The city of Indio has also given CARES money over to Martha's. Like, it seems like they have a system and a situation already happening in their center to do what we're asking others who maybe don't to sort of set up and do. So that was a concern from one of the council people I spoke to. The other concern that someone had was about the numbers. If we start testing more people and more people start testing positive, will those numbers hurt us in reopening? Just someone's question, figured I'd ask it.
Well, I disagree with that statement. I think that if we have more people testing positive, it will be a win for us because we will be able to address their healthcare needs and also to stop the spread of the disease to other people that are healthy today.
Thank you. That's a good answer and I'll pass it along. And then my last question is, the city of Indio tomorrow is going to be considering in their council agenda having the Tamale Festival in December anyways at the 29 Palms Casino. They're planning to still have it as an outdoor event. What they keep telling us as residents is that they genuinely cannot count the number of people that come by because it's just like a free-for-all open event. Whoever shows up, but there's always hundreds of thousands of people that show up to that event. So from this end, right, I don't think that's safe. Is it possible when things like that come up that the district either sends a letter, sends a staff member to give public comment or something and just say, you know, like those efforts may not be the safest. We're not telling you what to do. We're just sharing with you, right? These are the current rates. This is the work we're doing. And we just hope you're cautious, right? Mm-hmm. Of like things of that nature. So just wondering.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and address that comment, Vice President Borja, since it's not on the agenda. I don't think it's appropriate for us to actually discuss it. But maybe you can talk offline with our CEO, and I know it's tomorrow night, I would have to qualify as an emergency item to actually add it to the agenda. Is that correct, attorney?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So I'm just saying the Tamale Festival is one example. There's going to be others like it that keep coming up as we're trying to spend down this money, as we're asking nonprofit organizations to do COVID-related like conversations and education and testing with people. And then at the other end, we have other policymakers and other decision makers who are thinking about doing a tamale festival in December, right? Which is only a month and a half away from now.
Maybe we can have that as an agenda item for our meeting later this month. Is that okay, Conrado?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Okay, so Vice President Borja, do you have any other questions on this topic?
Those were it. Those were all the questions and comments that folks shared with me and the questions and comments I had about this proposal.
Thank you
for answering my questions.
Okay, Director Perez-Gil.
President DeLauro, it was a mistake. It's not Director Perez-Gil. She said she did not have a comment. There's actually a member of the public that is listening who has not identified himself.
Okay, I will continue with the board members then. Director Rogers, do you have any questions or comments?
I do, thank you. I'm going through the contract and I see that there is provision that contact tracing. Is the county going to do that or are subcontractor organizations going to do that? I have several questions.
The county will do that.
Okay. And I think that my question about monitoring the subcontractors, the nonprofits and faith-based organizations, are we going to go through our usual contract process where, you know, they give specific reporting criteria?
Yes. Yes, we will.
So have, okay. And are we going to contact the organizations and let them know that we have received this funding and share
with them? They are already aware that the Department of Public Health has provided that information to them.
Okay, great. And I see a long list of eligible expenditures. One of them is medical response expenses, including emergency medical transportation. I don't think our nonprofits and our faith-based organizations provide that service. Or are we talking about our ambulance services?
The organizations do not provide that service, but they may subcontract, and I don't know if an ambulance service is the right example, but they could hire that type of service and pay for that with these funds.
Okay, and it talks about expenses for disinfection of public areas and other facilities. So that's something that these nonprofits can subcontract for to take care of?
Yes, they can.
And the target population for all of these funds is East Coachella Valley, correct?
It's the main target, yes.
We're not talking about the convention center or anything like that, correct?
No, it's actually providing education and outreach to the people where they work, where they live. Is going into their communities, not building it, and they will come.
Okay, and so you said the counties have already contacted the nonprofit and the faith-based organizations. Expect to get started on the program.
Yes, they have. They are aware of these funds.
Okay, so as soon as the board authorizes you to sign the agreement, is when day one is when that can start?
Yes, they can start submitting their grant application to the foundation that day.
Will any of these applications go through the program committee?
If the timing allows, that's the intention. If the timing doesn't allow for the program committee, we will seek legal guidance on how best to expedite the process. And if you look at the contract asks for an expedited process because of the timing issues. We need to spend pretty much $500,000 between now and December 31st. And if we delay the process, number one, the community will suffer. And number two, if we don't deploy those monies, then we have to return it to the federal government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my point, is that we have a short time on it. Mm-hmm. So is there some way, Mr. Scott, that we can bypass the program committee to do this, I think
that's why we're bringing it to the board. There's a lot of oversight with the county with these funds. So I feel pretty comfortable that we can move forward on this with the board's approval. And as Conrado said, we'll certainly try when we can to make sure that the board's updated on these contracts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I just suggest that we inform the other members of the program committee of this program to just keep the communication and the transparency alive. Thank you. I'm done.
Thank you, Director Rogers. Okay, Director Matthews, do we have any questions? Is he with us? Okay, I guess he's not with us. So I'm going to open it up to the public. Andrea, do we have any question? Any public that would like to have any questions or comments?
We do. You are unmuted. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Brad Anderson. I live in the City Ranch Mirage. Yes, I was at the meeting earlier, and I was never asked to identify myself. So I'm sorry if this has caused any confusion along the board, with the board, I mean. So, and I guess I'm okay to give a public comment now. Is that okay?
Yes. Please.
Okay, great. Thank you. Again, my name is Brad Anderson. I live in the city of Ransom Mirage, and as written, I'm opposed to this redistribution of funds. And I know it won't make any difference what I say, but I guess I'm concerned about even the special meeting requirements to call this special meeting today. And I understand you were under a timeline, but I don't see the urgency of calling this meeting for this purpose. And I'm sure that's debatable, but, and another aspect, again, I may have said this at these meetings before, I don't think I have, but the staff reports are definitely favoritism would be a good word to use when you say that these people that you're helping are saving or are noble, or I can't remember what, oh, here it is. Work is the doing the work to make other people's lives better. That may be true, but that could be said for everybody in the valley. So I'm concerned about that writing, and the main thing I'm concerned about is the funds itself and cash allotments. I don't think any cash allotments should be given out. It's just too hard to track, and ethics and ethical values are far in between, and we need to really that's one aspect, is no cash allotments. And again, 20% for administrative costs is just excessive. And I see the pass-through. I understand you have to use this money by a certain time period, but that doesn't mean you have to spend it. That all goes with ethical behavior. And I'm not calling you not ethical, but just because you have to doesn't mean you have to. I mean, not, well, you know what I mean, I think. But so right now, as written, I'm deadly against this. I think this redistribution is unnecessary at this time. And I understand the COVID issue, but even the premise of, what did you call it, the equity focus is a thing for California and California only. But I can go into details about the supervisor and the congressman and how this was probably prearranged and months earlier. And the CEO mentioned refugees, I can't believe that, can't pronounce it, but essential workers. Again, this is all questionable, and it can be looked at. It will be looked at in detail later, but I'm opposed. Thank you again.
Thank you.
I'll mute myself.
Andrea, do we have any other public comments?
No, we do not.
Okay, very good. Okay, do we have any more questions or comments from any board members? If you can raise your hand. Okay, I have a hand from Director Zendel. Director Zendel?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that because of the nature of this and the need to get the money quickly to these organizations, I would propose that we not go through the program committee, that we entrust the CEO and staff to accomplish this according to the guidelines that are already presented through the contract with the county. And then I would ask that the CEO give a report to the board once a month, just to summarize where things are and be able to answer any questions that there are. But, again, the purpose of this is not only the need, but in order for the county to progress to a better tier to open up businesses, it has to address the disparity between the rates in these underserved areas from the rest of the county. The state is penalizing the county because of it. And that's why the county wants to do this. Yes, they want to help people, but even more importantly, they want to be able to progress if they can to a better tier. So I wouldn't want to delay this because of our, I'm not using the word right, but our bureaucracy of how we do things. But I think we can authorize the CEO to do it and staff, but to report to the board periodically about what's going on. That's my opinion.
Okay, is there any other questions or comments before I entertain a motion? Okay, then I will entertain a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Is there a second?
This is Carol, I second it. And I also agree that we should bypass the program committee.
Very good. Any other public comments? And any other board comments at this time? I'm sorry. Okay, I will just say that I am very much in support of this, and I appreciate the fact that the county came to us and trusts us to administer the dollars to ensure that the dollars get out to the community as soon as possible. And I appreciate our leadership for working with the county to address all the issues that he knew that the board members would be asking. So thank you for preparing and for allowing us to move forward. And so I will then, we have a motion on the floor by Director Shore, seconded by Director Rogers. I will call on the roll call. Director Shore.
Yes.
Director Zendel.
Yes.
Director Perez-Gill.
Yes.
Director Rogers.
Yes.
Vice President Borja.
Yes.
Director Matthews. And I will vote yes, it passes. All right, I turn it back to our CEO, to the agenda.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I believe this is the only item we had on the agenda, correct, Andrea?
Is there not?
The authorization of the authorization letter, the board. So let me pull that up. Authorizing you to sign the contract.
Is there a motion to authorize, are we going to put it up? That was part of the packet. Is there any questions from any board members?
I'm sorry, do you not see it there? Is it there?
No. Yes, we have. Oh, it is on the screen, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I saw it earlier, so long as everybody sees it, I don't see it, but that's fine, I saw it earlier. Okay, so do we have any questions from any board members on the letter? Okay, I don't see any hands up. Director Perez-Gill, since I can't see your name, do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions, thank you.
Okay, is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
I second it, this is Carol.
Okay, Director Zendel makes a motion and Director Rogers seconds. Is there any questions or comments from board members? Okay, there being none, then I'm going to call for the roll call. Director Shore.
Yes.
Director Zendel.
Yes.
Director Perez-Gill.
Yes.
Director Rogers.
Yes.
Vice President Borja.
Yes.
And myself, I vote yes. Okay, so that's on that item. Is there anything else on the agenda? I'm sorry, the screen doesn't allow me to see the agenda.
No, this is it.
Okay, very good. So
President DeLara, just so you know, I will immediately concluding the meeting. I have an e-document waiting for this letter and I will forward it to you right away for your signature.
Okay, I will look for it. Very good, thank you, Andrea. And board member, I see a hand from Director Zendel.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment because although it's very tempting when cities propose to do stuff that makes no sense from a public health perspective, and I believe we as individuals should speak out against it, I think that as a board, as a healthcare district, I would be loath for us to discuss that. I think it's up to the public health department to get involved, and I wouldn't hesitate referring something to them. But I don't know that we should be discussing that issue. That's my opinion. So if you want to put it on the agenda, we can, but I'm not so sure it's productive.
Okay, so I think that that's something that I want to explore with our CEO. And since we have a request from a board member, we'll explore it and how we can proceed with it, that item. Okay, is it, any other questions or comments from board members? Okay, very good. It's 5:42. I will call the meeting to adjourn the meeting at 5:42. Is that okay? Everybody take care, be safe.
Let's go Dodgers.
Yes, Dodgers.
Oh, Dodgers, yay.
Okay. Enjoy.
Okay. I'm gonna give Jeff a hug.
Okay, bye-bye.